Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey, Lance Zierlein here from The Bench. This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Superior Window Company. Listen, if you're still living with single-pane windows, it's time for a home window upgrade. Get started on your path to home window replacement. Visit SuperiorWindowCompany.com and tell them Lance Zierlein sent you.
So excited!
KFNC. Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media Station.
ESPN.
97.5.
Houston is all systems go. We love our Astros in Houston.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Prime Social, this is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Live at Prime Social, 7801 West Timer. It's the place to be. I'm watching all the folks over here playing in the PLO right now. What? I'm telling you, if you're looking for a game, it's going on right here. Then there's a hold'em game. There's a PLO game. Let's go. Get on over here. There's no other place that's got games going on at 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning on a Friday. Let's go.
Can I just mention, Richie's with here. Richard Justice, yeah, coming on, we've got – I told you about the new listener, Lauren Clemens.
Yeah.
Right? She works in the prosecutors. And her husband just left a – our station on 97.5. Yeah. She's like, what is this? What is this? And then she kept listening. She just said she just couldn't turn it. So now she gets to hear not only great radio from us.
Is she listening right now?
Minus Dell. Yeah, she's listening right
Lauren?
Now. She's in the car. Lauren, you're about to hear Richard Justice.
Yeah, tell you about baseball.
If you don't know, Richard Justice is the media. MLB.com.
And he is MLB.com. What's up, Richie Rich?
Oh, Richie.
What's up, boys? Do they have a burger there named for any of you guys?
No, we don't have a burger here at Prime.
Hey, your boy Ken Hoffman took your favorite sports writer out to lunch this week, David Barron. And
nice.
It wasn't
awesome.
To a high-end
that must have been
place.
A fun lunch for both of them. And it wasn't what?
Yeah, wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall for that one? No fly would do that.
Richie, all right. So Richie, before we get into Cole and all this and everything else, tell me about Greinke. Tell me about. I mean, everybody is so stuck on his last outing. He does because he's not Cole and Verlander. I think a bunch of people just think, "What the hell? He's not any good. He's a pretty damn good pitcher."
Yeah, and he's done that thing that's hardest to do, is that he's made the adjustment from being a hard thrower to not a hard thrower. You could go back 5 years, and he was the baddest boy on the block. He was Garrett Cole, man. He had a slider that was 91 with sink, and he's made the adjustment. And somehow, if you put him in a rotation with Verlander and Cole, he should be better. He just didn't have a good game the other night. He left pitches in the middle of the plate, and Verlander didn't have a good game in game four, and that's why they ended up in the series scaring the hell out of him. But he's going to pitch game one of the ALCS, and they have faith in him. I think he's got a chance to be – to beat the Astros, you got to go through Cole, Verlander, and Greinke for 6 of the 7 games, and I just don't see that happening. I don't see those 6 guys, those 6 starts, I don't see the other team winning 3 of them.
You don't. I think this should be a pick'em series. The Astros are 165 favorites.
But they're pitching. The Yankees pitching just isn't as good.
But it's good.
Yeah, well,
okay.
Let me say this. You're right. The Yankees have never been better than they are right now. They've gotten their number one starter, Severino, back. They've got Judge and Stanton back. They're a complete team. Their bullpen is better than the Astros' bullpen. The Astros have an edge in rotation. You know, the offenses are a push. The Yankees scored more runs than any team in baseball, despite all the injuries. They hit over 300 home runs. The Astros are different offensively. They drew the most walks. They hit the few. They struck out the fewest times. They wear you out. When you go through that lineup with the amount of pitches they make a pitcher throw from one through five or six, it's high stress. Yeah. So we're going to see a lot of bullpen, a lot of Yankee bullpen, because your starters are just not going to go deep into a game against the Astros.
And by the way, James Paxton has been awesome against the Astros.
Yeah.
When he was in Seattle, they couldn't hit that dude. Now, Tanaka, the Astros have had some success. I'm not up for Severino. But this Yankees, with Encarnacion back, I mean, you're right. Richie, I was thinking that with Cole on the mound, he looked like he was tiring at the end. But the mental wear and tear of facing Sanchez in the eighth hole, it's a lot like the Astros with Carlos Correa in the seventh hole. You got Sanchez in the eighth hole. Are you kidding me?
Oh, they're spectacular. They're really good. And, I think the first round series scared the Astros more than any of the others because Tampa Bay has all those relievers. They can bring a parade of relievers at you to all throw 95, all have sink on the ball. We looked up where our StatCast people do the evaluation of 500 pitchers. Tampa probably has 8 of the top 50, including number one, their closer, Pagan. And in a five-game series, they can come in and steal one from you. They can just shut you down. You know, everybody thought, well, Brantley and Springer aren't hitting. Those guys were making pitches. And the biggest hit of game five was Springer leading off the game, just bam, hit one. But the Yankees are good. I mean, it's not an upset. It will not be an upset if the Yankees win. And so, you just play and find out. You know you're going to have, if there's a game seven, you're going to have it at home.
Richard Justice from MLB Network is our guest right now. You know, getting back to Greinke for a second, because there has been a little bit of consternation about some of his starts. He hasn't necessarily been the dominant pitcher that everyone expected. And of course, it just doesn't look as good when you're behind the other two guys. No one's going to look as good.
Right.
But I guess, really, at the end of the day, Richard, he's brought here to the Houston Astros for this very reason, for this very purpose, to be able to take them over the top, to give them that extra advantage. And if Greinke, despite what he did against Tampa Bay, if he shows up and really has a gritty, tough performance and they get a win in game one, I mean, that's kind of – it's really what he's here for. He's here to help you win a World Series.
Right. That trade went against Jeff Luno's DNA. He had refused to trade multiple prospects to get a guy. And he traded his 3, 4, and 5 prospects to get this guy. And he just said, we don't know how long this window is going to be open. We hope to keep it open a long time. But Cole's going to depart after this year, and you're going to be different next year. You're going to have to, at some point, rely on some of your young starters. But if you've got Cole, Verlander, and Greinke lined up, you're pretty hard to beat. I was talking to a scout the other day, and I said, this is going wrong. The bullpen is this. And he goes, there's no team going to beat those guys in 6 starts in the 7-game series. Now, the Yankees, again, like you said, you could make the case it's a toss-up series because the Yankees are as good as they've been. But when you have Cole and Verlander and Greinke pitching at that level, especially those first two, wow, you're as close to an unbeatable team as they're ever going to be. And you're right, if Greinke steals game one, then you got a chance to be rolling because
you'll be their favorite.
Cole they're as good as it gets right now. They're the best two pitchers in baseball, and when you have that, you have an advantage.
Richard Justice with us here, MLB.com, here on ESPN. You can see him on the MLB Network as well. So, Richie, Alex Cintron ran down the dugout and was screaming at Maldonado that Cole was tipping a pitch. Cole was tipping a pitch. Cintron did. But Glasnow was tipping his pitches, and that's why they asked. Who's to blame for that? That organization didn't pick that up. And the Astros organization did pick that up.
Right. I think they obviously knew something was going on, but it's hard to fix on the fly. And they just laid the video, one video over another, and found out that his glove was in a different spot on a fastball and a breaking ball, and the Astros identified it. I don't know who identified it. Maybe it came from the analyst upstairs. And after the game, Glasnow went in there and looked at it and said, yep, I was doing it. I've done it in the past. And it's pretty subtle, but they picked it up, and credit to them. I mean, Kevin Kiermaier was saying, wow, he was throwing stuff up there. I was looking at the radar guns, and they were slamming it. And I thought, well, something is going on here. So that's part of the game within the game. They caught it.
Yeah, they well, the Astros did. There was a rumor that Alex Cora, who was awesome at it, gave a call and said, hey, this is what's happening, whether or not that's
true.
I think they could find it themselves.
How do you think they found it? Is there any whispers about how the Astros found it?
There's a video where they lay one pitch over one video of Glasnow over another, and they just say, is it different? Is it any different in a way that can be detected? And
right.
They saw this. And, you know, like, this is who the Astros are. Like, they were so obvious that they had picked this up that I thought, maybe they haven't picked it up, but they want them to think they picked it up. And they're just having good at bat. I mean, like, I don't know. With them, you never know if you're seeing smoke and mirrors or if it's really true, because it was so obvious. They were talking to each other, telling each other, TV guys were seeing it. And it's not, I mean, even if you go back and look at it, like, if this is what you do for a living, if you're Justin Verlander, you see it immediately. But if you and I are looking at the video, you're going, yeah, I don't really see it, because it is very subtle. It's like 4 inches or 3 inches difference in where the glove is.
Richie, where is the Astros organization? Because I remember I was talking to a scout when the Astros were losing, and he was like, yeah, all this Luno stuff and blah, blah, blah. You know what? old-fashioned baseball, you got to find guys and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Where are the Astros now as far as respect goes from the rest of the Major League Baseball?
I think the Astros, the Dodgers, and the Rays are looked at it on a different level. I think the Brewers are right behind there. The Orioles have hired all these guys from the Astros. They're going to get there fast enough. But it was such that the trade deadline, I had a guy tell me, our front office won't trade with the Astros, Dodgers, or Rays because they'll end up making it look bad. On the trade deadline, Tampa Bay picked up a pitcher it was Nick Anderson, and people were there were the analysts going, oh my God, watch what they do to this guy. But it was the same a year ago when the Astros got Ryan Presley. I heard from a guy that said, watch what they make out of this guy, because his stuff is off the charts. And same thing, you know, they look at all the players that have gotten better when they came here. Will Harris has been waived 3 times. Colin McHugh was waived. Dallas Keuchel was the guy they didn't even know would make it. And Luno tells Brent Staum, that guy's got a chance. Ryan Presley became an elite reliever just because they know how to take a guy's strengths and help him capitalize on them. They take Ryan Presley into a room when he first got here and put all these – it was analysts and coaches. They put all the stuff on a PowerPoint. These are the pitches that work for you. This is the pitch you should drop, blah, 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 blah. Did the same thing with Verlander. And Presley says to them, yeah, I don't know what you just said. Why don't you just tell me what to throw, when to throw it, where to throw it, and we'll go from there. And that's important because you've got to buy in. Charlie Morton bought in. As soon as he heard Gerrit Cole was coming to the Astros, he sent him a text or he called him and said, you are going to love it here. You are curious. You want to know. They're going to give you stuff that can make you better, and they did.
All right. Well, we're out of time here. We're going to take a break. Quickly, how much money is Gerrit Cole making himself?
what's the number? I mean, he's at that point where he can just name a number. I mean, the minimum would be 7 years and $350 million.
So that's 50 a year.
Okay, that's it. Get him off.
That's it.
No, wait. No, 300. At 35 million a year.
We can keep him on. Okay, keep him on. Don't hang up on Richard. Let him stay on.
Oh, 35 a year.
He's trying to make us pay 50 million.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, 30 million a year is going right for a top pitcher now.
That's 245 million over 7.
Yeah, then you just come up and you, how many years are you going to give the guy? Is it going to be the Angels, the Padres, Are the Astros going to get involved?
Can you really give more than six, Richard? Can you really give more than six in today's day and age of guarantee?
Well, it's the market. No, you don't want to. But you either – you know, Andrew Friedman in L.A., Houston boy, had a line, if you wait for something logical to happen in free agency, you're going to finish third on every free agent.
Listen, either Garrett Cole cares about winning or he doesn't.
Yeah.
I look at it that
simple.
Hey, wait a minute. That's a very important point. Like, you're going to go someplace else. And what you have here in terms of culture in the clubhouse and fan support and in the information you're provided with, you could not have a better situation than you have right now. On the other hand, your whole life you get one chance like this.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but this is a chance where you're getting paid by the Astros too. I mean, I'm presuming.
You guys did it the same thing. Big money guys cashing in. Sure.
You did too with your jump to MLB Network.
Yeah.
Don't even talk about this, Rich. You're like the Chronicle said, what will it take? And you said, nothing, beat it. And then you went to MLB
Network.
Yeah, and
now I can't even get a lunch invite from Ken Hoffman.
MLB.com, Richard Justice. Richie, thanks so much. We appreciate it. As always, great talking.
Thanks, so.
All right, there's Richard Justice right here on ESPN 97.5. He don't need no testosterone. You know Richie's got
it all. He's flexing on everybody. Maybe you do. Maybe you need a little testosterone from Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the company here in Houston with five locations, Cypress Spring, Pasadena, Pearland, and the Heights. And at each of those five locations, they bring you in. They will get you tested quickly. They will have results quickly so that you know if you're low in testosterone or not. And if you are, good news, there is a solution for you. And what Men's T Clinic does is they will get you to the level you're supposed to be at from a testosterone standpoint so that you are at optimal levels of metabolizing, of maintaining lean muscle mass for energy level. The first thing you're going to notice is a big energy spike when you use Men's T Clinic. You'll see that usually after the first 3 days. But within 2 to 3 months, you're going to start to see a change in body type. And it is a noticeable change. You'll notice your workouts are much different. As you have much more energy as you get through your day with all that energy and all that extra vigor. That's one of the things that Men's T Clinic can and will do for you. Make sure that you give them a shot by going to mensteclinic.com or stopping in at one of the five locations today.
Hey, Lance Zierlein here from the bench. This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Superior Window Company. Listen, if you're still living with single-pane windows, it's time for a home window upgrade. Get started on your path to home window replacement. Visit SuperiorWindowCompany.com and tell them Lance Zierlein sent you.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Prime Social. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John, Lance, Dell, and Jose is in studio. He's pushing the buttons. We're live at Prime Social. And I tell you, the games are going on here. If you're looking for a game, baby, it's nonstop. It never ends. 24 hours a day. And, oh, by the way, a big tournament today, 1 o'clock right here at Prime Social. If you're looking for a game, let's go. Get here and play in the tournament. They changed the structures, $200 to get in. You were going to spend $200. Well, what happened to the $100? Well, when you rebuy or you add on, it's $200. Now you don't have to do the second. That's all. It's the same. It's even better, actually. The structure is much better. Not all those rebuys, 1,000 rebuys. That's not real poker. That's just gambling. You want poker, and you got it right here at Prime Social. So let's go. Get on over here. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, let's listen again to Tyler Glasnow. Bring that up, Jose, because yesterday one of the and this is why the Astros – first of all, it's A, not cheating, but B, this is why the Astros are tough to beat is because I think when it comes to being – they're at the forefront of spin rate really before pretty much everyone else. And they also understand how to pick up tip pitches. It was something that they were very good at, from what I understand, in 2017 because of Alex Cora. And here is – and they ended up picking up the tells and tip pitches from –
And George Springer was asked about it, Big Poppy, and he acted like he didn't know what he was talking about, but he had no idea that the broadcast had already been talking about it the whole time. But Tyler Glasnow basically said, yeah, I was tipping my pitches.
Yeah, I went back and looked, and it was pretty obvious as far as the tips go. But again, like, I'm not going to say that's the reason why. Like, I left some pitches that were there to hit, like, over the middle of the plate, and they're really good hitters, and they can do things with, I don't care how hard you throw, they're good hitters. So I don't know if that's what it was, but when I look back, it was pretty obvious.
So you give a team like the Astros with all these great hitters an opportunity to know what pitch is coming, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. I would imagine their batting average goes up 100 points. If they know a fastball is coming, your average could go against that pitcher from 253 normally to 353. I mean, that's how big it is with quality hitters. With all that said, I feel like I don't care if you're picking up tip pitches or not. George Springer and Michael Brantley hitting the ball hard yesterday, especially Brantley with that home run. I feel like that's one of those things that maybe picking up tip pitches, or I mean, because Brantley didn't hit his home run against Glasnow, that wasn't his home run. So I feel like that may have been that first inning at bat. Might have been something that just reinvigorated, because baseball is such a mental sport. Mm-hmm. And all those sliders down and in on Brantley, he really struggled with that. But if Brantley can get his eyes right again to where he's got a little better plate discipline, which has not been an issue for him all year, but lately it's like, man,
he needs another
bad
talk
pitches.
Wasn't it him and Beltran? And he made him turn his head a little bit so he had both eyes on the ball. Do you remember that? In New York, that's when he started.
Yeah, because they said Beltran was
That was Yuli. It was Yuli.
Was it
that's
Yuli?
That's when Yuli took off.
Oh, in Houston, with
Yuli,
Houston.
That's when Yuli.
Well, all I know is that Brantley yesterday, all of a sudden it's like, ooh, is Georgie and Brantley, are they showing back up?
Okay, let me ask
now,
you.
Yordan right now
let me ask you this
is
question.
Not.
Which?
He's missing. John, Yordan is missing pitches that he was hitting 470 feet earlier.
Well, yeah,
I mean, fastballs in the middle of the plate.
By the way, Yordan had more hits than everybody. So,
I don't care. We know, right now, Yordan is not. He's missing pitches that used to turn into home runs. He's not at his best right now.
Well, but he wasn't at his best in the last 2 to 3 weeks of the season either. But at least he hit the ball hard. He just didn't have the lift.
He's not hitting home runs right now.
He's not hitting home runs, but he hit the ball hard. He had 6 hits in the series.
Not yesterday, he didn't.
No,
not when everyone was tipping pitches. Apparently.
Well. No.
Look, just because your prediction was off, don't talk.
Not yesterday, not the day before either.
Yeah, it was. You had Yordan hitting a 2-run homer. You're wrong.
No, I know. No, I'm saying
and
he hasn't.
Loss.
I don't think he really did hit. I think his double was a good shot. I don't think he was just mashing the ball this series.
No,
Yordan is not the same guy right now. He's not the fastball. When pitchers miss, he's not making them pay. And now he was making them pay like an MVP. I mean, frankly. Yordan played MVP caliber baseball for much of the season, which is kind of crazy, obviously, for a rookie. Now he looks a little bit more like a rookie. And how about Reddick? Reddick gets a start because I just think Skip just doesn't trust Tucker. Tucker got he got to pinch it. It didn't matter, obviously.
I don't know why he trusts Reddick.
How about Machete? One pitch outs, his first two at-bats. Huh. Take some pitches. Sir,
I love his approach. Jump on what? How did they get to Glasnow in the first?
Two pitches,
jump
two
on
outs.
Him. Jump on him.
He's
jump
not
on
pitching
him.
Again.
Machete,
he's done.
Don't. Don't be judging Machete.
You think he makes the ALCS, Machete? Now,
I think he's going to be the MVP.
By the way, shout out to Dad McCann. Brian McCann's going to that big workbench in the sky in his well, not really in the sky, just in his own garage as he retired. And Alex Bregman had some really. He said he's the best dude he's ever played baseball with. Brian McCann. McCann was very important for giving this team some maturity, a young, talented, spry team. And they said Beltran and McCann gave this team maturity in 17. Mm-hmm. And now you fast forward to now with guys like Cole. And you still have the young, energetic team, but now you got Verlander, you got Cole, you got Brantley. Like, this is the fully mature Astros. This is what it looks like.
Well, and all those kids grew up, too.
Yeah. Well, now
Carlos is all grown up. Bregman's all grown up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
this is what it looks like in bloom. Right. This is what it looks like.
Springer and Altuve have been there, done that. But, yeah. No. This team is all grown up.
If you want to mess around and tip your pitches, they'll go ahead and ruin you.
I want to talk about
mama.
Something on the other side that happened last night during the game about the University of Houston. We'll talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. But first, I want to talk right now about Absolute Marble. Speaking of the University of Houston, Jeff Aronoff is a huge sponsor. All you got to do is give him a call and let him come to your place of business. And he did some. Dana was on yesterday. Said, yeah, he did some work for us as well in the football program. He's a big sponsor. He'll buy tickets. I think he's got a suite there. He's done work for the baseball program. And they wanted to look. Here's the deal: when you're a team, you got to have it look nice. It's got to look nice. Otherwise, the kids are going to go, nah, this place is a dump. I'm not coming here. Well, guess what? That's the same with your business. That's the same with your home. It's the same everywhere. If a place is nice, you're going to want to be there. And this happens every single day. And Jeff Aronoff is the one who's getting that job done. If you're putting in countertops or a bar or you're putting in vanities or you're putting in patios, whatever you're doing, Jeff Aronoff is the guy to give a call and let him come and get that job done. Big jobs, no job is too big for Jeff Aronoff. 713-880-2822. Tell him you heard it right here. Get 20% off. 713-880-2822.
ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Prime Social. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It was a similar feeling to the ALCS a few years ago when we went and got swept. And then we came back, and as soon as the plane touched down here, it was just a different feeling.
That was Alex Bregman. We're here at Prime Social. These two are discussing personal things. I want you guys to join us out here at Prime Social today from 7 to 11. If you do come out here, just obviously you want to play some poker, but we do have free tickets to the Bayou City Art Festival this weekend at Memorial Park. That event is full of art, fun, food, and entertainment for all ages. We're giving away general admission tickets to our listeners who stop by. So play some poker and then, do something with your family because you can't be a degenerate all weekend. Or maybe you can, but we have it all here at Prime Social. These two were discussing things. That's why I had to be a professional.
Okay, so last night during the game, Justin Murphy, he is a player. He just transferred over. He's a grad transfer. He came over to the University of Houston. He's got about, 10 to 15 tweets here, maybe going on 20 tweets. And he talks about this year, the University of Houston. He is a guy this is his second transfer. He came to University of Houston. He said he was motivated, that the team wanted to win. The coaching staff brought him over, blah, blah, blah. And he's disappointed. He had a knee injury. And he's got a partially torn ligament in his knee. He says, I'm going to need a fourth and fifth knee surgery. Undoubtedly, I've got a case of CTE. He's been with Houston for five games. Mm-hmm. He's been here for five games. Apparently, there was some issue with him, though, because...
Is he playing right
the
now?
The head coach of the Houston Cougars told him... if you're not 100% committed to the team, then don't get on the bus. And he says that's ironic in light of recent events, what with the team tanking, the team, you brought senior grad transfers in here, and you are saying we're going to redshirt guys so that we'll be better in the future and not this year. Okay. I got texts and tweets referring to this, saying, this is a bad look for Dana. What is Dana doing? Apparently, he went into Dana's office. Dana from his point of view, Hogerson sat at the desk, eyes glued to a monitor, replied with 13 words. I don't have time to talk. I only have time to coach. And okay, as if I didn't deserve an eye-to-eye farewell or a proper handshake. And then he goes on, Dana makes $3.4 million, $300,000, all this stuff about but that's all. That's all about Dana. So people, this is a terrible look for Dana. I was like, well, here's the deal. Is I don't know if you remember Tom Herman when he got to University of Texas. Mm-hmm. The problem with upperclassmen with a new coach is that, you're not their guys. Secondly, I think Tom Herman realized in a hurry when he lost to Maryland in the first game, he went, holy crap, we're not good enough. We got to get better. And the upperclassmen are the ones that are going to catch it. The upperclassmen, I'm going to bet you that the majority of guys that play for the University of Houston next year are going to be transfers, that are going to be new guys that are coming in from all over the country. We took a look at the list, right, though? They got guys, UCLA, Michigan, Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, they got guys coming in here. When you're building this thing, the guys that are probably going to suffer most are the upperclassmen because they're not your guys. You got the last guy fired because you weren't good enough. You ain't getting me fired.
And if you're a player, you say, I was good enough. The coach stunk.
Well, and the coach goes, I don't have good enough players.
Well,
unless, and when you're 2-3, like the Cougs are right now, they weren't good enough. And the second thing about this is,
well, they gave 70 to Army. So
yeah, they
I'm
gave
not sure
70.
They, were,
they gave up 70
I'm
to Army.
I'm not sure that squad
they
was
were,
good.
They
enough.
Were good enough. They weren't good
I'm
enough.
Major,
otherwise,
I'm not saying Major did a good job, but they
you don't.
Wanna...
You don't make a change if you're good enough.
Well, their defense stunk.
And oh, by the way, I think you found out in the first couple of games. If you want to get to the highest level, which Dana and Tillman and Dr. Couture all want to do, you know what? You're gonna have to break some eggs to make an omelet.
What are Dana's thoughts on China?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what his position
is. Is he allowed to speak
I have not talked to Dana about this.
If you're just,
but there are two sides. Somebody said this is a bad look for Dana. Well, there's two sides to every story. If you were told as a player, if you're not 100% committed to the team, then don't get on the bus. I'm pretty sure that the coach thinks that you got that you're not 100% committed.
If you're Justin Murphy. And where did he come from? Where did he transfer from?
Well, here's another thing.
I'm glad you asked that.
I'm glad you asked. He transferred from Texas Tech. He went to UCLA. He was there for
From Tech.
He was there for 2 days. This is a guy that's talking about a commitment from a team.
Wait, hold on. This is one of the guys that we were talking about. He's a UCLA transfer.
No, I think there's another guy.
I was going to say he.
I don't know.
No, but there were two UCLA transfers. He was one of them.
And one of them.
So he wasn't really a UCLA transfer.
He was there for 2 days.
He's a Tech transfer.
And here he is saying, well, where's the commitment from the team? You transferred from a school after 2 days.
It's an interesting. Did he transfer? He committed to play for Chip Kelly and decided he didn't want to play. Is that how it turned out?
Yeah, I think that's all.
It's an interesting thing. Like you said, there are two sides. I would be interested to know. I am sure when he was told, hey, come here and play for us, that he probably wasn't told that, hey, if things don't turn out well early on, we have a plan in place to, as he put it, tank the year.
Okay.
Now, the Cougs wouldn't say that. Dana wouldn't say that. It would be to – and he put it in quotations because he thought it was crap about what the staff said about redshirting players who were starters. He probably wasn't given that information, and it may not have been a plan until 2-3 happened, well, or whatever the record was, 1-3.
Everyone does not have all the information on this, by the way. There are things behind the scenes that are going on that I can't talk about, but I can tell you this, that at the very least, Derek King was not playing good football. Derek King was not in all of this stuff about tanking. Is everyone sure that they're not a better football team right now?
The perception because of what Derek King provided last year is that how could you possibly be better with the guy we've never heard of?
Well, I saw Derek King last year, and I saw Derek King this year. And Derek King is not as good as he was last year. And Derek King maybe needed a break. Derek King maybe needed a break. And maybe Tune is a pretty damn good quarterback, by the way. I'm telling you, I'm not so sure that you're not better off today. Only because, and I'm not saying that Tune is a better quarterback. I'm saying the way that Derek King was playing, he was not as good as Tune is. He wasn't. He was having a lot of problems. So to say that, are you sure that they're tanking as opposed to being their best?
The non-nuanced response is, "Hey, I'm Justin Murphy. I came in as a grad transfer, and you were redshirting the record-setting quarterback. Clearly, you're not trying to win games. If you're from the outside perspective, you say, there's no way they're better. There's no way, because King was this. And Tune, we don't know. So there's no, that's the non-nuanced perspective. And to be honest, I don't know how many people are actually locked in on Cougar football from game to game to know that Derek King hasn't been playing at the level he played at last year.
Well, guess what? In the organization, they know.
Yeah. I'm just saying when you're talking about perception and what people believe.
I'm telling you right now, like I told John on text, you are wasting so much time. Why are you even wasting? All I care about is if I'm Dana, because I saw Tom Herman go through this. If you love football, I want you here. If you don't love football, if you're not committed, I recognize there's other things going on. The guy says CT, he for sure has it. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. I don't know. I just know this much. Right now, if I'm Dana, I'm just getting through this season because your eyes are on the big prize, which is getting better this year. And I know that's a cliched coaching thing, but it really is true for a guy like Dana Holgorsen in Houston. You got to get better. You got to get guys on the same page playing Cougar football, whatever that means now with Dana, because he's going to, every coach has their own definitions. And then you know what? Next year, you're going to start anew, and some of those guys are going to be out of the program.
Listen,
you got to just fade the guys who are the pain in the ass right now.
I'm telling you right now, there won't be, it'll be amazing the turnover in starters from this year to next year. You were not good enough going into this year. Now, were you 2-3? You should be 3-2. Okay, I get that. Maybe you should be 4-1. You could have beat Washington State as well if you'd have played a little bit better. Whatever the case may be, you weren't good. And oh, by the way, you didn't make the plays. You weren't good enough. The players on the field just weren't good enough.
Right.
There's going to be a huge turnover. Like you said with Herman, how about all the guys in Texas that were complaining about him that left? And you know what he said? Bye, guys. You guys are not.
He said flat out.
You guys aren't the future of this program.
I can't. I'm not saying you don't treat guys with respect, but if they're going to be hard to deal with, then you just have to say, you can leave, but these are the guys. We're building this, whether you want to get on or not.
I have not talked to Dana about this. But anytime a kid is quoting the coach saying, if you're not 100% committed to the team, then don't get on the bus, there's an issue with the player.
Well, maybe, but you talk about from the player's perspective. Well, as you guys are talking about the turnover and you guys aren't the future, the players feel that. The players can feel that there's been a turn of the page and they're not the priority. So if you feel like you're not the priority, I know there's all this buy-in. The coach knows what he's doing. But if you can sense, well, this young guy is starting to get more reps in practice for whatever reason, despite not playing as much, you can start to feel the tide turning, and maybe that's where some of the non-buy-in, I'm not 100 committed comes from, because you look at the coaches and feel like, these guys aren't committed to me. They've already turned the page on me, and they see I'm not one of their guys. I mean, I get what you're saying, but it's palpable. If you're a player, you can feel the coach is turning on you.
And to say you're not good enough,
I feel like if you're a player, it's unfair because I was good enough for the last guy, and also I'm not good enough for you. What does that mean?
It happens. Why
he wasn't good enough? This guy is a grad transfer.
I'm not talking about specifically Justin Murphy. I'm talking about any kid who feels like the tide is turning. I was good enough to get a scholarship here, and if you're looking at Dana, I'm not taking a shot at Dana's resume, but if you're a player, like, what exactly have you done to make me not good enough?
Nobody knows this. Listen, I've been living this for the last 5 years. The promises, I can tell you this. Once you get to college football, all bets are off on anything because I've been sitting with a coach the day of signing day. He gets a call from a parent and he goes, don't have to answer this anymore. Kid's already signed. It's over. All of those problems, it doesn't matter anymore. Can you help me win right now? And if you can't, you're not going to be part of my program. You're not part of my plan. And guess what? This is Justin Murphy. You're not part of the plan.
And Justin Murphy's not unique in his feelings. It's just that Justin Murphy, a lot of players don't go on the 20-tweet link diatribe that he did. But there are probably multiple players in that Cougar program who felt that the tide has turned, the page has turned on them, and they have no future in the program
It was
anymore.
The same way when Tom Herman got to Texas. A bunch of disgruntled upperclassmen. And you know what? You get them out of the program, and then you start to build your program.
I'm only playing the other side only because I feel like, we got to go, that the kids are looked at as a problem when maybe they weren't a problem in the previous program, but now because, well, you're not our future, so we don't have much time for you. We're going to develop other guys. Then you become disgruntled. Then they're quote unquote the problem, when it really was, hey, I didn't fire that guy.
Well,
someone
be.
Else fired him, and now my football future's in question.
Well, Justin Murphy doesn't have a football future.
He's not the only guy this has happened to, continue to happen.
It works both ways. All I'm saying is, if you're the university, you just got to say, look, we got to get guys committed. We got to get good football players and guys who are pains in the ass who don't want to get on board. Frankly, whether you're Dana Holgorsen, Tom Herman, or whomever. Mike Bloomgren at Rice.
Yeah.
It's the way you got to build.
That's it.
You got to build culture. And if guys aren't on board, they're not on board.
It takes time, and there's you got to crack some eggs, like I said.
Yep.
Okay, and you know what else you got to do? You got to get here to Prime Social, and you got to play some poker.
How about that? How about cracking eggs? Sometimes you got to crack aces. Sometimes it's not just eggs you got to crack. You got to crack aces.
That's exactly right. And sometimes you get your aces cracked as well.
You get your – seems like too much.
Seems like I said asses, but I meant aces.
It's both.
But here's the deal.
It's the same thing.
Here's the deal is if you're looking for the best place to play, there's – I don't know how many tables here, but on today it is going to be packed. There are going to be it's nonstop poker hold'em. You can play a 5-5 game, a 1-3 game. You got a 5-5 hold PLO. You got a 15-30 limit Omaha game, 8 or better. It's so much fun. If you're looking for mixed, they play mixed games here as well. A tournament at 1 o'clock.
Switch the the game. Yeah, we've done that before at the hand.
It's fun.
The table. I was like, wait a minute, what am I looking for again?
Right. What is it? Badoobie? But whatever. Deuce through seven. What is this? Anyway, if you're looking for the best place to play poker, this is not even arguable. 7801 West Hammer never closes. The best poker in the city of Houston, and there's plenty now. The best poker is Prime Social.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Prime Social. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We're back. Heads up to heavy metal fans. Rock legends Queensryche have announced their 2020 The Verdict Tour dates with John 5 and Eve to Adam, and they're making a stop in Houston. Caller 7 to 713-780-3776 wants a pair of tickets. Caller 7 at 855. Caller 7 at 855 wants a pair of tickets to see the great 80s metal band at the House of Blues on January 23rd, 2020. Get your tickets now at LiveNation.com. So if you want to see Queensryche, be caller 7, 713-780-3776, 855.
That's fine. Art says, if Holgorsen was president, JG would be Fox News. Well, what if Dana was a Democrat? I'd be CNN. See, that's
no. If he was what is China's ruling?
China?
No, China. What is their ruling? What's their ruler called? President, Prime Minister? You'd be
Supreme
state,
Leader.
You'd be state. No, that's North Korea. You'd be state TV.
No, isn't he the emperor?
No, I don't know.
China doesn't. Do they have an emperor?
Do they have royalty in China?
The Chinese emperor.
I don't know. I'm asking.
I don't know either. All I know is that
they have a president. No, they have a president.
I just want to free Hong Kong. That's all.
Better watch yourself. Xi Jinping is the president of China.
Oh, he looks like Winnie the Pooh. That's right.
You better watch yourself, sir.
Ni hao, ni hao.
I don't think that's appropriate either. I don't like when he does it either.
I'm doing it as friends.
No, I don't like you doing it.
What does it mean? Hello?
Yes.
What does it
mean? I don't like when he does it.
Hello. Zaijin.
Let's take a poll. Let's take a poll.
Zaijin.
You called him Winnie the Pooh.
And
he looks like it.
No, I
heard. You heard he looks like Winnie the Pooh. Fine. Whatever. Whatever. Whether your syntax is. Your heard he looks like Winnie the Pooh.
I didn't
and then
say
you,
it.
And then what did you say?
Ni hao, that means
ooh, I don't like it. I think
what do you mean you don't like it? I'm trying to be friendly to our friend. Zaijin, Zaijin.
But it's not.
That means thank you.
But it's not ni hao, or Zaijin. It's like ni hao, ni hao. You put an accent on it. I don't like it.
Yes,
I don't like it.
Yes.
And why do you always have to nod your head when you do
what are you doing?
I'm not.
Yes, you do.
Am I?
Yes.
Yes. Whatever
you're
it takes.
You're tipping your pitches.
I don't care if I tip my pitches as long as we keep the money coming in for James.
No.
I'm trying not to
Why
mess
do you care
up
about James's pocket? What do you
because
care?
Because everyone else in Houston, all the James fans cares that
I
James
don't care about
James's paid.
Pocket. I'm going to need you to stop.
There's a lot of fans who are upset that NBA players are going to lose.
I'm sure they are. I don't need. I need
numbers.
You not to do the nod or the accent.
Zaijian Nihao.
Stop it.
Please, China. Let's be friends. Three Stripe Life, Adidas, James Money. Mm.
Okay,
please.
Adidas is a German company.
Please.
Let me ask you this.
No, you think they're German. Maybe one time they were, but not anymore.
Let me ask you this. Were you not watching?
They're not a German company.
Were you not watching Cole last night? He's thrown 90-plus in every start. He only had that one 15-day break where he had the hamstring, so he took some time off. Is there any chance now that it's not the Yankees lineup, but it was mentally wearing on him that he couldn't give up any runs in game two. And then last night as well, it was only a 4-1 lead. And are you at all worried that he at some point he's going to be like – You're not that he's going to mentally wear out.
No. Well, what can I do? This is the best pitching I've ever seen as an Astros fan in history. This is up there with Pedro Martinez. The best I've ever seen was, Kevin Brown on steroids.
How about Verlander? He was mentally worn out.
Well, he was on 3 days rest, too. And yeah. He said his slider wasn't sharp. So I don't know if we can say he was mentally worn out as much as he didn't
or
have good
physically
stuff.
Worn. I'm not only mentally. How about physically?
Well, he had short day rest.
Right.
He was ball.
But he's a guy who
he's
hasn't missed the start.
But he's not
he hasn't missed
rest.
A start all year. He's 35 years old. Are we not at all worried how many pitches they've thrown?
No.
What they've
Are you really? So, what's the
well?
What are you?
Here's
gonna,
a question.
Can you do
here's a question.
What can you control?
Here's a question from C. Neal. He says. Pitches thrown in ALDS. Astros 731, Yankees 483. Is this a factor? Could become a factor.
Well, that's a different question.
Well, no, it's not because you're going to be wearing down. That's the
yes,
question.
Yes, but not mental fatigue of Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole doesn't strike me as a guy who's mentally soft in terms of, I'm just really mentally challenged.
No.
That's not the word for
but
it.
But it's just.
That's not. I'm not. I'm
no,
just,
no. But it, listen, when you're out there, it's not only a physical toll. There's a mental toll as well. I mean, because it never let up for him. They never gave him some breathing room. Now, they made a pretty good point during the broadcast. They said, it's not like he's overexerting himself here. He hasn't had a runner at second base. It's not like, holy crap, I got to get this pitch here because, if not, a base hit, they're going to score. No, they didn't get a runner to second, so it's hard to score.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't go into it that deep. I just think, and I'm a numbers guy, but I just think because
no,
we don't
not.
Deal with emotions, we deal with numbers. This
no,
is what numbers.
You're not
I'm not
a
even
numbers
talking
guy.
About okay. just. I'm not talking just the mental side, but also the physical side.
Yeah.
Is there a chance they're worn down?
If you want to change it to just the physical side, yes. Mental side for Justin Verlander and Cole, I'm not worried about that at all, or Greinke or any of these guys. What I am a little worried about is you just faced a much lesser lineup where Choi was one of the hardest guys to get. I mean, that guy was a heckler at the plate. You're getting ready to – this is better than me saying Zaijian.
They're both bad, but
so,
it's awful, really.
So now you're getting ready to face – you're getting ready to face a really, really tough lineup. You're facing yourself. Spider-Man's pointing at each other. That's what you're getting ready to face. So it's going to be tougher. And it's not going to be because they're mentally, they're wearing down mentally or wearing down physically. I just think that the Yankees can hit. Now, the wearing down physical thing, what's 100 and, it's 162 plus. So now you're going to be at the 170 range when you are, as a team, when you are inside the playoffs against the Yankees. Yeah. There's going to be some physical. But the one thing I like about – and I like this with Schilling, too, because this is more like the Schilling-Randy. I use Schilling instead of Randy Johnson. Cole and Verlander in the Schilling model, meaning they can work off fastballs. It's not as fatiguing when you work off the fastball as when you're constantly trying to, to finesse
a
people.
Smarter,
and out,
right.
Yeah, so – and I think – it's a repeatable – you're talking about a repeatable
and it's funny, Schilling,
pitching.
It's funny you bring up Schilling.
Style.
Schilling said plenty of times, I got stronger because I throw fastballs. You see today's pitchers, they get weaker because they're not throwing fastballs. My arm got stronger as the year went on. So we got more to talk about. Raheel's going to join us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. We're live at Prime Social right now. Right down the street is Clients Jewelry. If you've – if you need any jewelry, I don't care what it is, Mark Klein is the best. Mark is the best at getting you that jewelry that you need at the price that you are. I'm telling you, he has been doing this forever. His family has been doing this forever. If you're looking for the best in jewelry, it's Michael Klein's Fine Jewelers. He's now at between on Westheimer, Westheimer and Fountain View, and right between Houston's and Jason's Deli. But he has everything you could possibly need. And I don't care what the occasion is. Listen, if she's got jewelry that's been sitting there and she's not using, he can turn that into something new for her. So maybe you rummage through, don't steal her stuff, but you rummage through her stuff and you find the stuff that's something that she's not using, ask her, and you guys bring it in together, and he can make you something special. 832-316-1388. You can text him. 5868 Westheimer Road. And he is just the, I'm telling you, he's a manufacturer in a retail store. You're going to love it. We're coming up on Christmas. Start thinking about it now. KleinsJewelry.org.